whether it happens or it doesn't happen, it should not disappoint you. The process of learning should always be enjoyed. And anyway, you have realized by now, when your course is almost about to get to completion, that you have transformed yourself into a much better, knowledgeable human being in the last 1 year process. So that is obviously a very crucial thing. But at the same time, work hard, very hard, because this exam is not very difficult. It all requires a right strategy, right approach. And if you are able to follow the right stuff, there is nothing that can stop you. But normally, like, people, they don't follow the right strategies. I have discussed with you earlier also once or twice. And as a result of which, they happen to, you know, not get through in the exam. I'll, for example, if I give you my own experience and my own example, in my first attempt, I could never qualify the prelims also because we never knew anything. I mean, there were people who used to tell me to read newspaper. I never paid emphasis to it. I thought, oh, bakwas hai, kya karna hai newspaper padhenge? Ready-made masala itna acha hai. And then you pay a price for it, you know. And then it does add to a lot of disappointment because you work hard for 1 year. Because of one or two stupid things, you end up in losing the battle. And then when your friends qualify, and the people who are studying with you end up in getting a rank in the exam, it adds further disappointment also. And sense of hatred also. Then you, at the end of the day, also realize that, you know, if you didn't get through, it was because of your errors rather than anybody else. So that is what I am trying to tell you, that, you know, don't make these edits and make sure that you have proper strategies also for the exam. And you see, if you read the right sources in the right time, whether it is your first attempt or last attempt, you eventually qualify. So in my own experience, I have realized two things. Reading the right books and reading them rightly are the two things. Because sources matter a lot. If your source is wrong, or if you read something from where question doesn't come, it doesn't serve the purpose. Because you will read for the sake of reading, but not for the sake of passing the exam. That makes a lot of difference. So two things be careful about, and hopefully you should not have a difficulty. And that is the only thing I would like to say. And if you want to ask anything, you are free to ask. Anything? There is no rumor about it. The fact is, there is nothing to discuss about it also. It was a past work experience. It was there. That's the only thing. And I mean, okay, people happen to change their careers and so did I. And there is nothing to discuss about that. I mean, I really don't know because it's the truth. That is, there is nothing a rumor in that case, certainly, but what exactly do you want to know? Pakistan is always a good country. Depends upon for what you go there. So, we had people who went to Pakistan for women. We had people who went to Pakistan for food. I was one for food. So it depends. And then yes, it's a dangerous place to work. It's one of the very interesting places also, and dangerous also, because you walk death every moment of your life. But at the same time, you get an opportunity to contribute also in a much bigger fashion than probably in any other service you would get. So these things do matter. And if you ever get a chance in your life to be a part of such an organization, always go for it. But it's tough. You have to make a lot of compromises with your personal life, family life. And it's a very intrusive life. I mean, they keep a watch upon you. They keep a very deep watch upon you. And it may come to you as a shock. I mean, they will have photographs of everything you do in life, including, say, for example, when you are sleeping at night or when you are, you know, having a bath or anything for that matter. It is to that extent a very intrusive life. So that's why most of the people don't prefer to go for it. But then if your mindset is that it doesn't affect you, then obviously it is good. But yes, you get to contribute in the overall affairs of the country in a much deeper manner rather than through any other service which is there. That is always there in this particular scenario. Which photo? Yeah? This one. This was in Saudi Arabia, and this is the way we had to, you know, go around whenever we had to meet some Saudi fellow there, because otherwise they normally don't talk. And Sardarjis are preferred to be sent to the Middle East because we have beard and all, and we have, you know, such kind of an attire which makes us very synchronized to the local population. So they prefer to send Sardarjis to Middle East, to Afghanistan, to other Central Asian countries. But they don't get an opportunity to go to Europe and all. In Europe they send very, you know, party people, I know. So those people from Uttarakhand, Himachal, you know, white looking people, like European type people, they are sent to European countries. So it does happen that way. It depends upon it. छोड़ने कैसे दिया का क्या मतलब है? छोड़ना और ज्वाइन करना तो आपके हाथ में है, वो आपको मना थोड़ी कर सकते हैं छोड़ने ना, ज्वाइन करने से रोक सकते नहीं, ऐसा कुछ नहीं है, आप छोड़ सकते हो, आपको जब ज्वाइन करना है ज्वाइन कर सकते हो, जब नहीं ज्वाइन करना है नहीं छोड़ना है आप छोड़ भी सकते हो, पर छोड़ के भी आपके ऊपर उतनी ही नजर रखी जाती है जितनी जब आप ज्वाइन करके काम करते हो, तब दोनों जगह सेम रहता है इंट्रूजन, तो उतना ही है, बिकॉज वंस यू हैव एक्सेस टू दैट इन्फॉर्मेशन ऑब्वियसली दे विल इंश्योर दैट यू डोंट डिस्क्लोज दैट इन्फॉर्मेशन, बट एनी वे वाई वुड यू डिस्क्लोज फॉर दैट मैटर, देर आर थिंग्स विच आर ऑफ दैट नेचर that even if you disclose the problem is half of the people will not agree. So that also doesn't really matter. So ye cheeze hai usme, theek hai, it's a part of life, but there is nothing, I mean, very exceptional like the media says or like your storytellers and all that say ki bhai there is a huge kind of an aura around that organization or something like that. Aisa kuch nahi hai, it's just a simple sarkari job, but yes, it depends upon what you do there that matters the most. अदरवाइज वो ऑर्गेनाइजेशन एक नॉर्मल है, आप वहां पे क्या करते हो दैट हाउ यू लीव योर मार्क डिसाइड द वे, सो दैट्स द थिंग देयर. ठीक है, शुरू कर ले अब पढ़ना, आधा पौना घंटा लगेगा, तुम भी जल्दी जाओ हम भी जाए यार, जिंदगी अब खतरा तो नहीं आना, ये सही किया तुमने, चेंज हो जाना चाहिए. जेएनयू अच्छा इंस्टीट्यूशन है, बट यार कहीं वहां पे जो है ना बिल्कुल ये हटाने पड़ेंगे यार, लिखना पड़ता है हम लोग कहां से निकाल जाते हो यार, हटाना पड़ेगा हमें. So we were discussing that left-wing extremism was a topic of ours. We'll finish up that. We have already done the other two things in between. So we had talked about the left-wing extremism up to second phase. We'll start with the second phase, that is the phase of Communist Party of India, Marxist Leninist People's War Group. So just a quick recap so that things become fresh to you. In the first phase, Charu Majumdar was one of the leaders of the party. Charu Majumdar had established the Communist Party of India, Marxist Leninist. It was a party to basically replicate Naxalwari type violent activities all over the country. So these people basically were trying to fight for land reforms and specifically the failure of land reforms. So as a result of which, what had happened is that these people wanted to replicate violent activities which had happened for the first time in Naxalwari village in Bengal in 1967. But you know, eventually Charu was arrested and finally he died in the police custody, as a result of which the first phase of the movement, left-wing extremism, came to an end as a result of it. The second phase began with the formation of the Communist Party of India, Marxist Leninist People's War Group, CPIMLPWG, was basically the party that was created in the second phase. and it was created by a former party member called Satyamurthy. So Satyamurthy was one of the leaders who basically established the People's War Group. And establishment of the People's War Group marked a very important change, because it not only took the movement further in the second phase, and more important is that it also brought about certain changes in the functioning of the organization. For example, first new change that they brought about was they created front organizations. First question that arises is, what are front organizations? Second is that, why were they created? Front organizations were basically created by these people for the purpose of doing propaganda. You know, in the second phase, what these people realized was that we need to reach out to the masses on a regular, constant basis, number one. Number two, how do we reach out to the masses on a regular, constant basis is basically through carrying out a propaganda activity on a regular basis. How do we carry out propaganda on a regular basis? These people decided that we will basically resort to creation of separate organizations, which are called front organizations. So front organizations were, number one, created exclusively for the purpose of carrying out propaganda. Now the question is, what are front organizations? These are basically nameless organizations. Nameless organizations that exist without any specific name. They are created by the People's War Group, and they are basically created for the purpose of carrying out exclusive propaganda activity. So front organizations are nameless organizations which are created with the objective of carrying out exclusive propaganda for the party. That is the idea. Then they brought about another change. They decided to basically carry out destruction of government property. Destruction of government property was basically a strategy adopted in the second phase to basically carry out and convey their displeasure against the government. So they wanted to basically convey their displeasure against the government. To convey this displeasure against the government, they basically decided to destroy the government property. What kind of government property? Public buses, railway platforms, communication towers. So they would often destroy public buses, communication towers. They would often try to destroy even railway platforms. But they would always ensure one thing, that whenever they are trying to target the public property, they would never ever deliberately harm the civilian population. Because civilians are not a part of your class enemy. So deliberate harm to the civilian population will never be done. Civilians are not a part of the class enemy. For example, you see, whenever they would try to destroy a public bus, they would always adopt a very peculiar strategy. They would stop the bus, tell the people in the bus to come out, burn the bus. They would never harm the people in the bus deliberately. Deliberate damage to the civilian will never be carried out. Collateral damage, if it occurs, it can occur, for which there is obviously no guarantee or no assurance for that. Ab koi bus se utarne ko hi mana kar de. It is not their guarantee after that. But deliberate harm they will never do to any civilian population is the key. Third, they widened the definition of the class enemy. Added a new class enemy called civil servants. In the first phase, they had four class enemies. Now they added a new class enemy, taking the total number of class enemies basically to 5. And they added civil servant as a part of the class enemy. A question that arises primarily here is that what could be the prime objective for them to add civil servant as a part of the class enemy here? And what would be something that they would be trying to achieve by deliberately adding civil servant as a part of the class enemy? Haan bhi tum batao beta. मेरे को एकदम सिविल सर्वेंट लग रहे हो क्या रीजन हो सकता है अभी तो बता भी जरा तरस नहीं आया इन पे कितने दशक लग गए उसके सिलेक्शन में, पानी की टंकी के पास क्या जिंदगी बिताई है उसने, फिर अपने जेरॉक्स पड़े, फोटो कॉपी दुकान से ज्यादा तो मसाला इसके घर पर पड़ा था, फिर भी ये कर दिया।
हाँ
सिविल सर्वेंट तो गवर्नमेंट का ही पार्ट है, कोई इंफोसिस के लड़के थोड़ी है। नहीं यार वो तो कोई इतना रीजन नहीं था, ये बताएंगे हमें, ये मेरे को ये झारखंड का चीफ सेक्रेटरी लग रहा है। तो ये तो बगड़ वाला आंसर दे रहा था, उसके बाद भी नंबर नहीं आते उसमें। खुद की जिंदगी खत्म, यूथफुल लाइफ पहले विपिन चंद्रा के साथ निकल गई, उसके बाद कैडर ऐसा मिल गया, वहां अलग समस्या होगी। One thing which he says to some extent is right. You see, adding civil servant as a part of the class enemy was a very deliberate move of the party. The strategy they adopted was that we will abduct the civil servant, bargain with the state. Abduct the civil servant and then bargain with the state. Because you see, the idea is very clear. That once you abduct the civil servant, you can bargain with the state for anything. You can bargain with the state for money. You can bargain with the state for release of the prisoners. You can bargain with the state to get an access to an area. So whether it is money, whether it is release of your people, the government who has carried out operations to catch your people. So all these activities can be facilitated by abducting the civil servants. And this was a very deliberate strategy adopted, because if you study about the history of the People's War Group till 2001, you will realize one thing, that throughout their existence, they have abducted more than 80 IAS officers in the entire second phase. So considering that they have abducted almost more than 80 IAS officers throughout the second phase proves that it was a very deliberate attempt by the party to achieve certain strategic objectives. Whether it was getting their prisoners released most of the time, or whether for that matter it was also at the same time seeking ransom money from the government also. So this continued as it was in 1975. Another group called MCC was created. MCC stands for Maoist Communist Center. Maoist Communist Center was created in 1975. This group called the MCC Maoist Communist Center existed basically as a think tank for the party. So MCC Maoist Communist Center was basically like a think tank which existed exclusively for the purpose of carrying out research activities about what methodologies of violence can be adopted. Research about not only methodologies of violence, but research also about, for that matter, at the same time, about what kind of civil servants in what areas to abduct. So they used to do a lot of groundwork, but they existed separately for some time. In 2001, the CPI-MLPWG merged with the MCC. Merger gave rise to the CPI-Maoist. CPI-Maoist and its creation marks the beginning of the third phase. And the CPI-Maoist is the main extremist party today. It is the party that does extremism today. So CPI Maoist, for that matter, remains the dominant extremist organization. They have brought about three changes again. First, today they practice a strategy called ambush. Ambush is also basically a type of killing only. It is also a kind of annihilation. But the problem in ambush is that you not only kill the class enemy, After killing the class enemy, you also disfigure the class enemy. So what is the objective in ambush? Kill the class enemy, disfigure the class enemy. The objective to disfigure the class enemy is to ensure that the body of the class enemy becomes difficult to recognize after the incident. So you kill plus you disfigure. How do you disfigure? By mutilating the body, cutting the body into small pieces, making it very difficult for the government or security forces to recognize the body of the person targeted by the Naxalites. So they practice today what is called ambush. Ambush is an extreme form of violence, is what we are trying to say. Number two, they widened the definition of the class enemy, added a new class enemy called the politicians. So with adding of the politicians as a part of the class enemy, total number of class enemies that these people have now is 6, 4 in the first phase, 5th one in the second phase, and the 6th one finally in the third phase. So these people basically have 6 class enemies to target today. Then, party has been resorting to what is called as the use of modern weapons. So party is using what is called as modern weapons today, which is one of their strategies as such. In the present phase, and it is a different thing from what they were using earlier, called the conventional agricultural equipment as. Now, despite these three things, you have to remember firstly that in the third phase, there are some concerns. Concern number one in the third phase is secrecy in the functioning of the party. This is a serious cause of concern in the third phase today. Party today maintains complete secrecy in their day-to-day functioning. They do not announce anything. They have not made any public announcement till today since their creation in 2001. Whatever we know about the party and its functioning today in the third phase is because of the strategy adopted by the government, which is called PACE. Pattern analysis of specific events. Whatever we know about the functioning of these people in the third phase today is because of the pattern analysis of specific event strategy adopted by the government. Now, when we say that the party has basically maintained secrecy in the third phase, it means that they don't make any public announcement. But then if they don't make any public announcement, how do we know what they do in the third phase? Through the pattern analysis. So what do we do here? We basically try to study a specific event, analyze the specific event, that whether that specific event is only one time event or whether that specific event is a new pattern now. And once it becomes a new pattern, that it becomes recurring in nature, then we understand that it is a new feature. For example, today we just now sometime back said that in the third phase, politicians are a part of the class enemy. Beauty is that the party has not officially announced this. CPI Maoist does not say that politicians are a part of the class enemy today. But we know that the politicians are a part of the class enemy because this has become a new pattern since the third phase, that they have been targeting the politicians. The first ever target on the politician happened in 2003. An assassination attempt on the then sitting Chief Minister of Andhra Pradesh at that time, Chandrababu Naidu. In 2003, Naxalites resorted to an assassination attempt upon the then sitting Chief Minister of Andhra Pradesh, Chandrababu Naidu. This was the first ever time that an assassination attempt on a sitting Chief Minister of a state was done. Because it was a massive political attack Initially, the government at that time in 2003 thought that this is basically an aberration. Government thought ki this is not something they want to do deliberately, they must have done it by mistake. But then the government realized that they were themselves wrong. Because after the assassination attempt of Chandrababu Naidu, subsequently, these people now began to attack other politicians. They targeted various MLAs, they targeted MPs, they targeted political party workers, and the beauty is that they continue to do it till today. And because today we know that attack on the political class has now eventually emerged as a new pattern, that is the reason why we are able to infer that politicians are a part of the class anyway. So this is basically what it is, primarily an inference through pattern analysis. The politicians are a part of the class anyway. Party has not officially said this. It's just an inference that we are able to draw because it has become a recurrent feature. Similarly, for that matter, just now we said ki they go for modern weapons. When we say that these people go for modern weapons, the party has not officially announced this. They have not made a public announcement of the fact that, you know, they use modern weapons. But we know they use modern weapons. Question is how? You see, one thing is that police has been a part of their class enemy since the first phase. They targeted police in the first phase, they targeted police in the second phase. In the first two phases, whenever they would target the police, what they would do is that they would kill the police and go away. You know, the police always had weapons with them. Because the police always had weapons with them. In the first two phases, whenever they would target the police, they would kill the police personnel and leave the spot. They would never try to pick up the weapons and take them away from the police. Surprisingly, in the first two phases, whenever the reinforcement team of the government used to reach the place of incident, they would immediately try to recover the weapons. And weapons were always recovered. But suddenly from 2001, this began to change. Because from 2001, what we began to see was that whenever they targeted the police, weapons were missing. Whenever they targeted the police, weapons were completely missing from the spot. Government initially thought ki probably local villagers are coming and picking up the weapons and trying to run away with them. Government thought villagers might be doing this mischief. Crackdown operations in the nearby villages found ki villagers never had those weapons. When crackdown operations were carried around the villages and the villages never had those weapons, government understood one thing. Ki villagers are not doing this. They observed very carefully. And the government later on found that the Naxalites are basically trying to attack the police, loot away their weapons. So we realized one thing. That if the weapons are going missing, these weapons are looted away by the Naxalites. And after they loot away the weapons, they start using the same weapons to target their class enemies. And as they loot away the weapons and target their class enemies, and now because it has become a new pattern, that is why we are able to infer this today. That they are using weapons looted away from the police personnel. And today, 95% of the armament of these Naxalites is the armament they have looted away from the police as such. 95% of their weapons that they use today are the weapons they have looted away from the police. 5% of the weapons are self-manufactured by these Naxalites in forest areas under Make in India. 5% of the weapons, they for that matter happen to self-manufacture products. Most of these weapons that they self-manufacture are primarily the improvised explosive devices, IEDs. Improvised explosive devices. Improvised explosive devices are low intensity weapons. It's like a low intensity bomb. crude bomb. At times it is known as desi bomb, crude bomb. So they are able to self-manufacture improvised explosive devices. 5% of them. But 95% armament is looted away weapon. But the party has maintained secrecy. They have not announced anything. Cause of concern number 2. Lack of goal clarity. You know, we know one thing today, that when the movement began, it began because of the failure of land reforms. But the question is that today, do these people genuinely want land reforms or not? We do not know. Why do we say that there is a problem and dilemma? That whether these people genuinely want land reforms or not. If they want land reforms, by now they also know that in a democratic country called India, land reforms can only happen if a politician passes a legislation. They also know that land reform is going to be a legislative process. You people have been fighting for land reforms. You people say we want land reforms. Question is, if you really want land reforms, then why are you killing the politicians? These two things are not synchronizing. Because you can't at one place say we want land reforms and at the other place eliminate the same person who is going to create a legislation for land reform. So there is a lack of goal clarity. Today we are not aware what exactly they want to achieve. Problem has been further compounded because the party, as we just saw, maintains secrecy. Problem is that the party does not announce anything. And because the party does not announce anything, issue because of that is what? That we do not know what exactly is their goal today. That is why the government today goes for a post-mortem strategy. That is why government today happens to go for what is called as a post-mortem strategy. Post-mortem strategy means that once the event occurs, you analyze the event after it occurs. Post-mortem ka matlab yahi hota hai. Ki bhai once an event occurs, then you analyze the event after that. Problem is, you cannot prevent the event to happen. Wait, today problem is that government is resorting to post-mortem. Because it does not have preventive strategy. Reason why it does not have a preventive strategy is because we do not know what to prevent because we do not know their goal. Today, they are targeting politicians in extremist affected states. First thing is, we do not know why they are targeting those politicians in those extremist affected states also. But there is always a possibility that later these people can start attacking politicians even from states which are not extremist affected states as well. Firstly, we do not know why are they attacking politicians at the first place. But we do know that as of now, politicians are targeted under the extremist affected states. Tomorrow they can start targeting politicians outside extremist affected states also. We will not be able to prevent that. Kal ko Piyush Goyal ko utha ke le gaye, ye Kiran Bedi jaisa dikhta hai, isko le jao. We will not be able to prevent that. There is no preventive strategy. Why? Because there is no goal clarity. That is also a very serious cause of concern today in the third phase. Third is the leadership issue. What is the leadership issue? You know, when the third phase was started, 2001, the CPI, MLPWG and MCC merged with each other. Who were the people behind the merger? We do not know. merger led to the birth of CPI Maoist. Who was the leader of the CPI Maoist at the time of merger? We do not know. When CPI ML was created, the leader was Charu Majumdar. People's War Group was created, leader was Satyamurthy. CPI Maoist was created, name of the leader unknown. Since 2001 till today, in the last 18 years, we do not know the name of the leader of CPI Maoist. Front organizations, time and again, have tried to come out with the name of a leader by saying this is the leader, that is the leader, Kishanji, Ganpati, etc. These kind of names keep on coming up time and again. But front organizations, if they are naming something, we can't believe that also. Because we know front organizations are here for propaganda. They are not telling the truth. And if that is the truth, ki this fellow is the leader or that fellow is the leader, why is CPI Maoist not saying that? So first conclusion here is that there is a leadership crisis. That has to be understood, number one. How do we address this leadership crisis? There are two theories for that. One theory is basically a government view about the leadership. What is the government view about the leadership? Government says we have carried out development in the extremist affected areas, due to which mass base of the party has eroded, and as a result of which the party today has no leader. Government says that we have carried out massive developmental activity in the extremist affected areas and we have transformed these extremist affected areas into some kind of smart cities, as a result of which the quality of life of the people has exceptionally improved and life expectancy in extremist affected area is today 140 plus. And with the kind of massive modern day infrastructure like metro trains, hyperloop, etc. Because of this development, the people are not interested to join extremism. Government's logic is that development done by the government is diverting people away from extremism, taking them away from extremism. And if they are going away from extremism, mass base is eroding. And if the mass base is eroding, the party has no leader. Why? Movement has always been a mass-based movement. If the mass base has eroded because masses are not interested to join Naxalism, what will the leader lead? So government's view is ki number one, party has no leader. And government view is Naxalite movement is on the path of decline. Naxalite movement is declining. Government is trying to build this narrative today for the last 4 or 5 years. The Naxalite movement in India is declining. The problem is almost on the verge of finishing. And this narrative is very powerfully built by the government. Har saal home minister aage speech de deta hai isko leke. Ajeeb ajeeb speech dega. Atankwad ki samasya khatam ho gayi hai Bharat mein. Ek to uska haath pata nahi aise kaise chalta raha maange. जैसे वो बच्चे को चाबी वाला खिलौना लगा देते राजनाथ सिंह आतंकवाद की समस्या मोदी जी के आते ही खत्म हो गई थी, नक्सलवाद की समस्या जो है उमा भारती की शक्ल देख के खत्म हो गई। अरे वही प्रॉब्लम है दैट एट वन प्लेस यू आर बिल्डिंग अ फॉल्स नैरेटिव कॉल्ड द फैक्ट दैट द प्रॉब्लम इज ऑन द वर्ज ऑफ डिक्लाइन एंड दिस नैरेटिव टुडे ऑफ द गवर्नमेंट इज कंप्लीटली चैलेंज्ड बाय द scholars who are analyzing the Naxalite movement. Such scholars say that at one place when you say that the Naxalite movement is declining, How do you explain certain incidents then that have occurred in the third phase? Why, if the movement is declining, number one, no accelerated incident can occur. Scholars say ki despite at one place you say ki movement is declining, naxalite incidents have occurred. And serious incidents. Scholars say ki number one, 9th April 2019, a BJP MLA was ambushed in Chhattisgarh. Scholars say ki bhi at one place you say movement is declining, it has no leader, no mass base. How can a movement without a leader, without a mass base, on 9th April of this year, ended up in ambushing a BJP MLA in Chhattisgarh? Similarly, the scholars ask ki bhi, in 2013, Congress leaders in the state of Chhattisgarh were also again ambushed. Entire senior leadership of the Congress party in the state of Chhattisgarh was finished in this massive ambush which had occurred. More than 38 people in that ambush had died, including a prospective CM candidate of the state at that time. Government is unable to answer these questions. Similarly, in 2008, R. Vinil Krishna, Alex Paul Menon, R. Vinil Krishna, Alex Paul Menon, both of them were IAS officers. Both of them were district collectors. R. Vinil Krishna in Odisha and Alex Paul Menon in Chhattisgarh. Both district collectors were abducted by the Naxalites in broad daylight while they were discharging their official duties. While discharging official duties, broad daylight. We know today why do they abduct civil servants. Abduction of civil servant is a bargaining chip for them. When they abducted these two civil servants, they bargained for the release of their prisoners. They asked government to pay ransom money also, 4 crore rupees as well. And the moment the government paid the ransom money, the moment the government released their prisoners, both the civil servants were eventually released. But the question is not about the release of the civil servants. The question is that at one place when you say that the movement is on the path of decline, it has no leader, no mass base. How can a movement without a leader, without a mass base, abduct senior government functionaries like collectors in broad daylight? कलेक्टर उठाया ही ये तहसीलदार नहीं है कि उसको उठा के लेके चलो अगले साल 100 वैकेंसी बढ़ा दी स्टेट में ये कलेक्टर है एंड दैट टू यू आर अबडक्टिंग हिम इन ब्रॉड डेलाइट इज अ मोर सीरियस कॉज ऑफ कंसर्न सो गवर्नमेंट इज अनेबल टू एक्सप्लेन दिस सिमिलरली Sialdah Rajdhani Express. Sialdah Rajdhani Express was a train that was basically derailed by the Naxalites. You know, the Naxalites, they did this activity in 2015 in a very peculiar fashion. What happened is that they knew that Sialdah Rajdhani is going to pass over this area. They identified a bridge below which there was a very high speed flowing river. On that bridge, these Naxalites removed the fish plates from the railway track. When they removed the fish plate and the train was about to come, The train eventually came. When it was passing over the bridge, it was traveling at a speed of more than 100 km per hour. Because the fish plates were not there, the train derailed. It fell down into the river also. More than 200 people died. Government later on investigated, found ki Naxalites did it. And then the government said ki dekho, Naxalites anyway have a strategy of destroying government property, which they added in the second phase. So government said ki we destroying government property because it is a strategy. They did this, proving the fact that they achieved their goal. But then 1 month later, government came out with another report. The other report that the government came out with was that where it said that out of those 200 people who died, 196 persons who died at that time were basically police personnel. So government changed their report by saying ki police is a part of their class enemy. Destruction of government property is their strategy. So by derailing the Seattle Rajdhani Express, they were able to achieve two objectives together. Both the objectives were achieved. You killed the police, which is your class enemy. You destroyed the government property, which is your strategy. So government said this and closed the report. The scholars are asking the government since 2015 one question which government is unable to answer. They are asking the government that tell us how did the Naxalites get to know that the people who were traveling in the train that day were basically police personnel. How did they get to know? This information regarding the occupation of the passenger in the train is the information which is available only in the centralized database of the IRCTC in Bangalore. If this sensitive information regarding the occupation of the passenger, if it is securely kept in the IRCTC database in Bangalore, how did the Naxalites manage to get to know this information? The train ticket examiner, TT, also for that matter, does not know who are the people and what are their occupations who are traveling in the train. He does not know till the time he personally verifies the identity of the traveler at the time of checking the ticket. When this information was not available with the TT also, not available with general railway staff, and was only available in the IRCTC database in Bangalore, how did the Naxalites manage to get to know is the question. As the government was unable to answer, it proves one thing. That these Naxalites today have people who are their sympathizers within the government. It proves one thing. That the Naxalite sympathizers are deep within the government. At very sensitive positions. Who are passing some very very valuable sensitive information to the Naxalites. Because Sialda Rajdhani is an everyday train. It leaves New Delhi every day. Why did they target it only on that specific day? Because they had this information. So one thing through all these incidents that have occurred in the third phase is very clear. The scholars very rightly say government is building a false narrative. Movement is not on the path of decline. It is impossible to accept party as no leader. Scholars very rightly say party has a leader. The party does not want to name the leader. Because the party has understood in the last few years that the moment you name the leader, the government will try to eliminate the leader, and the moment the government eliminates the leader, the movement basically comes to an end. That is why the party deliberately is not trying to name the leader. And it is an abject failure of the intelligence agencies and the local police that they are unable to penetrate inside the CPI Maoist also till now to know the name of the leader. Abject failure of the government to know this. That is why we can say that the third phase is a phase of deliberate ambiguity. Third phase is a phase of deliberate ambiguity, where the party is not maintaining clarity about anything to do. Compounding the problem for the government to tackle the problem as well. Clear, sir? Any issue anywhere till now? Any question, clarification anywhere? So, collateral damage, deliberate target नहीं है भाई, कभी deliberate target नहीं है, collateral damage हमेशा होगा, अब train गिर गई, train में जो है बाकी लोग भी जा रहे थे, घर पे नहीं बैठा जा रहा, तो deliberate हम नहीं करेंगे, ये हमें किसी को भी नहीं पता, कि क्या इनका ऑब्जेक्टिव लैंड रिफॉर्म्स है, क्या इनका ऑब्जेक्टिव वायलेंस है, क्या इनका ऑब्जेक्टिव आज की डेट में बस एक माफिया बन के वायलेंट एक्टिविटी करना है, ये सब करना है, नोबडी नोस. सो बिकॉज दे आर नॉट क्लैरिफाइंग, वी आर ऑल्सो नॉट रूलिंग. प्रॉब्लम इज ऑल्सो फ्रॉम द गवर्नमेंट, बिकॉज गवर्नमेंट इज नॉट ट्राइंग टू नो ऑल्सो बाई टॉकिंग टू दम. वी आर नॉट नेगोशिएटिंग ओनली विद अनलेस और अंटिल यू डू नॉट टॉक एंड नेगोशिएट एंड आस्क देम व्हाट डू यू वांट, यू विल कीप ऑन डूइंग व्हाट यू वांट, दे विल कीप ऑन डूइंग व्हाट दे वांट. So that is also a missing link to it. That if they are not telling, we are also not interested to know. So we do not know where the movement is going to head in the future. CPI Maoist hai. Illegally declared. CPI M jo hai political party hai, CPI Marxist one. Maoist illegal declared hai. Marxist bhi illegal hai ek tarike se. But wo baithe parliament mein nahi uske. अब कन्हैया भी आ रहा है उसका अकॉर्डिंगली. एम्बिग्युटी में उसका कोई रोल ही नहीं है, वो तो अनलॉफुल एक्टिविटीज प्रिवेंशन एक्ट 1967 के अंडर बैंड है यूएपीएम, क्योंकि इलीगल ऑर्गेनाइजेशन है तो उसको तो बैन करना ही करना. चाइना इज नॉट सपोर्टिंग देम सर, पाकिस्तान इज सपोर्टिंग देम, आईएसआई गिव्स देम मनी, चाइना इज नॉट सपोर्टिंग. चाइनीज सपोर्टेड द नॉर्थ ईस्टर्न इंसर्जेंसी, दे डोंट सपोर्ट दिस. अभी लिखवा रहा हूँ आपको, अगली चीज वही है, अभी उसके सोर्सेज लिखोगे आप फाइनेंसिंग के. नो सक्सेस एट ऑल, बिकॉज द प्रॉब्लम कंटिन्यूज, वायलेंस कंटिन्यूज, एंड व्हेनेवर द इलेक्शन ईयर्स कम, व्हिच इज अराउंड द ईयर ऑल द टाइम, द वायलेंट एक्टिविटीज इंटेंसिफाई, पॉलिटिशियंस आर एनीवे योर टारगेट टू. तो ये चीज इनकी खत्म नहीं हो रही किसी तरीके में, मतलब इट इज बिकमिंग अ विशियस साइकिल टू. Intelligence is failing because the intelligence bureau for that matter is unable to penetrate inside the CPI Maoist to know who the leader is. यार आपके country के अंदर movement है, country specific है, 11 states हैं जहाँ चल रही है. आप 11 states के अंदर penetrate करके identify नहीं कर पा रहे कि leader कौन है. ये सबसे बड़ा abject failure है आपका. तो मतलब आपके में IB में as such कोई capability है ही नहीं. वैसे भी IB में capability कभी भी नहीं थी. उनसे कोई faith कभी रहा ही नहीं हमें. लेकिन problem ये है कि एक प्रॉब्लम जो आपके इंटरनल यार, मतलब 11 स्टेट्स ऑफ योर कंट्री है वेयर देयर इज नो एक्सटर्नल सपोर्ट, दे आर पीपल आल्सो नॉट गोइंग आउटसाइड टू गेट ट्रेन, इन दैट केस आल्सो यू आर फेलिंग. और बाकी फिर वो स्टेट की इंटेलिजेंस, अब देखो यार वो स्टेट भी कहते हैं छत्तीसगढ़, झारखंड, मतलब इनकी पुलिस से भी, मतलब पुलिस से ही क्या उम्मीद रखनी है, एक इंटेलिजेंस तो इनकी छोड़ दो आप. तो ये एक अलग अनफॉर्चुनेट एस्पेक्ट आ जाता है यहाँ. तो देयर इज अ कलेक्टिव इंटेलिजेंस फेलियर, कलेक्टिव, सेंटर ऑल्सो, स्टेट ऑल्सो. Government will always approve intelligence operations. The problem is intelligence apparatus, not the operation. Apparatus is the problem. Manpower is the problem. Your people on the ground are primarily involved in corruption. They are not interested to basically carry out this activity to identify where the movement originates, what is the leadership, what are the goals, objectives, etc. And by giving them the leverage to maintain ambiguity, it is causing harm to you also. You can always break this ambiguity. ये ambiguity को break करने में कोई इतना challenge नहीं है. But then the larger question of the political intent will come into play. Today there are chief ministers of states which are supporting the Naxalite problem. Why? Because it is a vote bank. So that aggravates the issue further. अब ममता दीदी है. Outright support करती है Naxalites का. अब आप क्या करोगे, आप वो गृह मंत्री बनने के लिए रेडी है, वो चुनाव हो जाए तो उसके तो एम्बिशन है कि मैं होम मिनिस्टर बनूंगी इंडिया की, बर्बाद है हिंदुस्तान अगर ऐसे होम मिनिस्टर देखने पड़ेंगे हमें जो हु आर सपोर्टिंग नक्सलाइट्स एट वन प्लेस, देन देयर आर यू नो ब्यूटीफुल साउथ इंडियन स्टेट्स आल्सो वेयर दोस हैंडसम चीफ मिनिस्टर्स आर आल्सो डूइंग द सेम. The problem doesn't come to an end because at one point the issue is the political intent to crush the problem in the long run. So let's see how it goes. ठीक है जी, any other issue? Ambiguity break करने के लिए you have to have strong intelligence, get to know the name of the leader, identify their goals, and then start crushing the problem. Whether it requires military crushing or whether it requires for that matter developmental related. Issues where you can address their concerns and mitigate the problem. First thing is to know what they want. Then only you can prevent them. Compare and contrast it with what we talked about earlier in the form of terrorism. Today, because we know what Lashkar-e-Taiba wants to do, we can prevent it to achieve. We know what Indian Mujahideen will try to do, we can prevent it to achieve. Here we do not know what they want to do. Question is, how do you prevent? It is ironical that India has a preventive strategy for terrorism but not for the Naxalism. This is the irony. Terrorism, which is a much bigger threat, you can prevent it. Something which is a more internal security threat, you are unable to prevent it. This is the differentiation. But then there is a larger angle also, ki bhai, deliberately we are trying to create that narrative ki problem is declining. Because if you don't accept ki problem is declining, it will affect your global power image also. India ki international image pe bhi affect karega, ki apne country mein inki problems jo ye solve nahi kar pa rahe. To uska best tarika kya hai? कि सरकार को बोला ऐसा नैरेटिव क्रिएट करते कि प्रॉब्लम ही नहीं है, प्रॉब्लम नहीं है कोई, ग्रोथ जो है 30-35% जीडीपी पे चल रही है, अनएम्प्लॉयमेंट तो -30% है. तो आप ऐसी इमेज क्रिएट कर दो इंटरनेशनल लेवल पे. तो इट इज एट वन प्लेस देयर इज एन इंटरनेशनल इमेज एंगल आल्सो एसोसिएटेड इन द गवर्नमेंट्स नैरेटिव दैट दे आर ट्राइंग टू बी. सो थिंग्स आर इंटरलिंक्ड, डोमेस्टिक इंटरनेशनल. नहीं, गवर्नमेंट नेवर ट्राई टू, फॉर दैट मैटर यूपीए गवर्नमेंट एनडीए गवर्नमेंट बोथ हैड द सेम पॉलिसी. द पॉलिसी वाज दैट वी विल टॉक टू द नक्सलाइट्स वंस दे स्टॉप वायलेंस. यू स्टॉप वायलेंस वी टॉक. नक्सलाइट्स से व्हाई डू यू हैव अ क्राइटेरिया लाइक दिस दैट वी शुड स्टॉप वायलेंस देन टॉक व्हेन यू नेवर हैड द सेम क्राइटेरिया फॉर द नॉर्थ ईस्ट इंसर्जेंट ग्रुप्स. गवर्नमेंट व्हेन दे टॉक्ड टू द नॉर्थ ईस्ट इंसर्जेंट ग्रुप्स दे अलाउड दोस नॉर्थ ईस्ट इंसर्जेंट ग्रुप्स टू कंटिन्यू टू डू वायलेंस बैक एट होम व्हाइल द होम मिनिस्ट्री वाज कंटिन्यूअसली नेगोशिएटिंग विद देम. And then eventually what happened? All those erstwhile Northeastern insurgents eventually ended up in becoming chief ministers in Northeast. Because there was political integration. Jitne bhi ye the Nagaland mein, Mizoram mein, Manipur mein, inka saron ka integration ho gaya political level pe. Inko bola inducement de di ki bhai theek hai tum chief minister ban jao, tum home minister ban jao, tum deputy chief minister ban jao, wo kuch kuch wapas aa gaye. Immediately violence ho gayi. So Naxalites are saying, why are you having a differential criteria? And government is unable to answer. So there has been no attempt made. Because government is adamant, we will talk to you when you stop violence. They say we will not talk to you unless you remove this differential criteria for us. So there is a deadlock. So accommodative attitude from the government is also required to some extent. If they have that intent to solve the problem. But let's see how it happens. Abhi tak to there has been no attempt. आम सप्लायर कौन है? वो उससे क्या हो गया यार? देखो, डेमोक्रेटिक सोसाइटी में द बक स्टॉप्स एट द पॉलिटिशियन फाइनली. अनलेस और अंटिल चीफ मिनिस्टर्स ऑफ एक्सट्रीमिस्ट अफेक्टेड स्टेट्स, होम मिनिस्ट्री एंड द प्राइम मिनिस्टर्स ऑफिस डू नॉट सिट डाउन टुगेदर टू एस्टैब्लिश अ डॉक्ट्रिन टू प्रिवेंट नक्सलिज्म, नथिंग विल हैपन. Government is working, there are so many developmental schemes. There are more than 25 developmental schemes that the government has launched in extremist affected areas. These schemes are only to harass UPSC aspirants. So problem is ki at one place, as I said again and again, political intent becomes a missing element today in a very big way. state governments at times normally don't cooperate with central governments when it comes to on-ground operations. Because don't forget, you know, under the constitution, law and order number one is a state subject. So police of the state has the liberty to carry out Naxalite operations which are there. But what happens is that the central government has said that because the state police does not have adequate capacity to carry out anti-Naxalite operations, so central armed police forces will assist them. So normally what happens is that when the central armed police forces assist them, they try to interfere in the operations. But they say ki we are having more experience. For example, a force like CRPF, Central Reserve Police Force, it is a specialized force for counterinsurgency. Obviously, their experience is going to be much higher than Chhattisgarh police for that matter. So when the CRPF says ki we'll take our expertise, Chhattisgarh police will start crying, you are interfering, you are interfering. So this is where the problem occurs. Again, the issue is ki there is no kind of a doctrine or kind of a policy we have in India where things are written. Ki, you know, this is what the CRPF will do, this is what the state police will do. These things are today very arbitrary. They are fluidic because they happen on the ground every day. So it's not that the states oppose, the states try interference. That is the concern. बिल्कुल है पॉलिटिकल बेनिफिट भाई जब तक आपकी प्रॉब्लम आपका नक्सलाइट प्रॉब्लम आप ऑन रखोगे आपको वोट भी तो मिलता रहेगा यार जो लोकल लेवल नक्सलाइट लीडर्स हैं आप उनको सपोर्ट करो वो लीडर्स कंट्रोल कर रहे हैं थोड़े से मासेस को वो आपके फेवर में वोट डलवाएंगे तो पॉलिटिकल पार्टीज को तो बेनिफिट प्योरली मिल ही रहा तभी तो पॉलिटिकल वो विल ही नहीं है उस प्रॉब्लम को सॉल्व करने की कल को वो वोट बैंक भी इरोड हो जाएगा तो लेट्स सी हाउ थिंग्स हैपन इन द फ्यूचर Operation Greenland is basically an operation which was carried out by the superintendent of police of the Bastar district in Chhattisgarh. So SP of the Bastar district, what happened in 2005 was that during an aerial survey when he was traveling in a helicopter, he found that the Bastar district is a complete green forest from the aerial view. Bastar has a lot of forest area. But when the SP along with his forces went down in the forest, he found that the Naxalites are trying to hide there. इन ग्रीन कलर टेंट्स तो ग्रीन कलर का टेंट है टेंट के ऊपर पेड़ है ऊपर से देखो तो लग रहा पेड़ है नीचे नक्सलाइट बैठे सो द एसपी ऑफ द बस्तर डिस्ट्रिक्ट डिसाइडेड टू कैरी आउट एन ऑपरेशन टू ब्रेक डाउन दीज नक्सलाइट टेंट्स इन विच दे वर लिविंग फॉर विच ही कॉइंड द टर्म कॉल्ड ऑपरेशन ग्रीन हंट अब इट वॉज अ लोकल ऑपरेशन इन द बस्तर डिस्ट्रिक्ट वंस इट वॉज डन सक्सेसफुली फ्रंट ऑर्गेनाइजेशन पिक्ड अप द टर्म And these front organizations, since 2005 till today, are saying that Operation Green Hunt is the official policy of the government to kill the tribal people. Now, see how many discrepancies. Operation was carried out at a local level to destroy Naxalite tents. Front organizations have carried out propaganda. What is the propaganda? That Operation Green Hunt is the policy of the government to kill tribal people. Today, media is made to believe this. Journalists are made to believe this. Intellectuals in society are made to believe this. Ki Operation Green Hunt is the government policy to target the tribal people. Government says aisa kuch hai nahi. Because Operation Green Hunt was a localized operation. So this is a smart propaganda. Operation Green Hunt is a very, very smart propaganda of front organizations. Your beloved Hindu newspaper, which is nothing but a kind of front organization, is always going to use the term Operation Green Hunt. Whenever an Naxalite incident occurs, whenever security forces will kill certain Naxalites, Hindu newspaper will always proudly mention ki bhai government is anti-tribal people, government carried out Operation Green Hunt, government eliminated tribal people. What are you doing by this? You are strengthening that propaganda. Strengthening that idea ki yes, there is something called Operation Green Hunt. People in the country who will start reading it will start believing it. Ki Operation Green Hunt is the government policy to kill tribals. So this is the smart propaganda these people are resorting to, which is around the term called Operation Green Hunt.
So sometimes
Naxalites
come and surrender.
They do surrender. There is a surrender policy. But the surrender, if you read the surrender policy, very clearly says it is an unconditional surrender. You surrender, we ask you no question. Otherwise, why will you surrender? If you are going to interrogate me and trouble me after that. That is always a hypothetical situation that you know once you surrender you take money you take rehab and then you may not go back We just assume you will not go back. But once you are into these kind of activities, it is very difficult that you will not go back. So as of now, we can't say ki whether the policy is very successful or a completely failed policy, because the policy came in 2013 only, the surrender policy. So it's very new to justify right now ki what has it achieved as of now. So please write down, give the heading, finances of the next rates. Finances. So here you can write down in 2007. Intelligence Bureau IB got hold of a document during an operation. Got hold of a document during an operation called as Our Financial Strategy. Called as Our Financial Strategy of CPI Maoist. The document mentioned certain sources. The document mentioned certain sources which include, number one, membership fees, number two, extortion from the industrialists, next, illegal mining activity, next, illegal control over forest produce, next, ISI of Pakistan provides them with fake currency. Which the Naxalites mix with legal currency and circulate in the economy. Thereby leading to economic destabilization. Next, urban Naxalite sympathizers generate sympathy in the urban areas and use that sympathy amongst the urban population. Use that sympathy amongst the urban population for the purpose of fundraising. Next line onwards you can write down, from next line, separate line. In 2007, the document stated that the target of the party was to collect 150 crores. This proves the fact that the party is able to access resources who sustain the movement. As per the intelligence estimates, the front organizations are today present. The front organizations are today present in more than 20 states of India. They also play an important role in generating sympathy. In generating sympathy for the Naxalite cause. Okay. Write down government strategy to tackle extremism. So here you write down one line. The government has adopted a multi-dimensional approach which has elements of security, development, and rights and entitlements of the local communities. So you see, under this there are various schemes which the government has launched. I will be putting up a handout on the portal. You can refer to the schemes from there. Likh lo usko, the schemes from portal, otherwise you will forget. Schemes from handout or portal, whatever you want to write. Theek hai ji? So refer to the portal now for whatever the schemes are. One last thing here is that till the time you give your mains now, be very careful to observe these Naxalite incidents that occur. Because whichever recent incident will occur prior to the exam or whatever happens in the next few months, you have to quote those examples while you are writing the answer. Like the 9th April wala incident occurred. A similar kind of an incident, if it occurs, try to get hold of these examples and make sure you write this. Okay? So refer to the portal. If you have any difficulty, you can always meet me after the class or whenever you are there. So we finish this topic, and thereby the rest of the things I put up in the handout, that answer writing thing which he was asking, that is also going to be put up on the portal itself. Don't worry about it. Okay? So study well. All the best for your exam. And so now you can also go back home and take a break to the art of this Friday. I will be asking.